Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my pleasure to serve this warm and welcoming congregation. You are welcome here, whoever you are and however you are. If you celebrate Mother's Day today or forgot it was Mother's Day, you are welcome if you have been experiencing the beauty of spring, and welcome if you have been caught up in the dreariness of the ongoing rain. You are welcome if you feel happy and well, and you are welcome if you feel tired and sad. You are welcome, whoever you are, however you are. If it is your first time here, please fill out one of the newcomer cards, which is in the back of your chair. There's a little pocket there, or you can find them in the foyer. Today we're going to have some in-person coffee downstairs, which is exciting, and there's a coffee hour online if you're watching it live stream today. That link for online coffee is in your order of service, which came in the email this morning. If you did not receive such an email and you would like to be in coffee hour, you can get a hold of our administrator and get on that email list. And I just want to remind you all that next week is Flower Communion, which is our celebration of community in this church. And we invite everyone to bring a flower. And if you're not going to be able to participate in person, we would love if you would send a picture of you with a flower for a slideshow so we can see all the people in our community, no matter where they are or where they're viewing the services. So this morning we light our chalice for that which glistens on the edge of our yearnings and lures us into the depths of things. For that which glistens on the edge of our yearnings and lures us into the depths of things. Thank you, Ella, for lighting our chalice this morning. Let us say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Our opening reading this morning is from the inimitable E.E. Cummings. It goes like this. I thank you, God, for this most amazing day, for the leaping, greenly spirits of trees and a blue, true dream of sky. And for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes, I who have died am alive again today. And this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay, great, happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the no of all nothing, human merely being doubt, unimaginable you. Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened.
Welcome to Learn Conmigo 123. Today we will read the story, The Proudest Blue. A Story of Hijab and Family, written by Olympic medalist Ittihad Muhammad with S.K. Ali. Art by Hatem Ali. Mama holds out the pink. Mama loves pink. But Asya shakes her head. I know why. Behind the counter is the brightest blue, the color of the ocean. If you squint your eyes and pretend there's no line between the water and the sky. It's the first day hijab. Asya knows it. I know it. We are sisters. The next day, I wait. A new backpack. New light-up shoes. I feel special. I feel like twirling. Asya comes out of the house, and I stop. It's the most beautiful first day of school ever. I'm walking with a princess, so I pretend I'm one too. But even princesses have to stop to cross the street. Asya takes my hand in hers, says, "Come on, Faiza, we speed walk it. 14 steps, 14 light ups to get across. Asya takes me to my line first, hugs me goodbye. I turn to watch her leave, give a little curtsy to the princess going to the sixth grade area. She's easy to see. Her hijab smiles at me the whole way. My first day hijab is going to be blue, too. What's that on your sister's head? The girl in front of me whispers. A scarf, I whisper back. I don't know why a whisper came out. I try again, louder now. A scarf, hijab. Oh, she whispers. Asya's hijab isn't a whisper. Asya's hijab is like the sky on a sunny day. The sky isn't a whisper. It's always there, special and regular. The first day of wearing hijab is important, Mama had said. It means being strong. I turn, but I can't see the blue anymore. I run to the big kid's side. 27 steps to see Asya. I need to give her another hug. I need to see her smile. Faiza? Asya's eyes wonder why I'm here. Are you excited? I ask. About the first day of hijab? She nods, smiling big, and I feel better. Someone laughs from nearby. A boy, pointing at Asya. Why? Asya's hijab isn't a laugh. Asya's hijab is like the ocean waving to the sky. It's always there, strong and friendly. Some people won't understand your hijab, Mama had said. But if you understand who you are, one day they will too. In class, I drew a picture. Two princesses in hijab having a picnic on an island where the ocean meets the sky. The girl who whispered in line says she likes it. She says it so loud, the teacher comes over to see it. I wonder if Asya drew a picture too. Recess time is for 5 cartwheels in a row. I land the last one near the sixth graders, near Asya and her friends. Near a boy yelling, I'm going to pull that tablecloth off your head. Asya's hijab isn't a tablecloth. Asya's hijab is blue, only blue. Asya turns away. Her friends turn away. They race to the middle of the schoolyard, their shoes pounding the pavement, playing tag. Mama, don't carry around the hurtful words that others say. Drown them. They are not yours to keep. They belong only to those who said them. It takes me 48 steps to get away from the yelling boy. After school, I look around. I look for whispers, laughs, and shouts. But I only see Asya waiting for me, like it's a regular day. She's smiling, strong. We cross the road hand in hand. I can't wait to get home, to show Mama the picture I drew, to show Asya that I'm wearing the same hijab in it. Because Asya's hijab is like the ocean and the sky, no line between them, saying hello with a loud wave. Saying I'll always be here, like sisters, like me and Asya.
On this Mother's Day, let us hold in our hearts all those who love their mothers, who had blessed childhoods, and whose mothers loved them and supported them through adulthood, and celebrate today with joy. Let us hold all of those who have been hurt by their mothers, don't like their mothers, or no longer speak to their mothers, and find today painful. Let us hold those whose mothers have died and today are filled with sadness or guilt or relief. Let us hold all who are mothers, those who have found mothering fulfilling, those who have discovered too late they were not suited to the task, and those who just muddle along the best they can. those who have borne the brunt of this pandemic, schooling and caring for children while separated from communities, friends, and families, and exhausted with few resources. Let us also remember those for who today, for who this day is painful, those who wanted to be a mother but never could, or those who still try month after month without success, those who have given children up for adoption and wonder where and how they are, those who are separated from their children or their mothers by distance or estrangement. Let us remember particularly now those who don't want to or can't mother a child, but find themselves pregnant in places where there is no choice or soon will be no choice but to give birth, and thus are forced into this sacred, challenging task without resources or desire. Being a mother and being in relationship with a mother can bring out the best and the worst. Let us bless us all, wherever we are, whatever we need on this Mother's Day. Amen.
Our second reading this morning is from singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer. Riding my bike down a narrow country road, to one side a dense forest, on the other side a wide summer meadow. Then, right there beside me, a graceful young doe was bounding in beautiful, unhurried leaps. And for just a moment, we were two deer running together. In the blue evening light, then with a burst of speed, she dashed in front of me and disappeared into the woods, leaving me breathless with a feeling of visitation, of holy communion, like I'd been touched ever so briefly by something wild and unbroken. Since that moment, the world has felt less weary, like anything and everything is still completely possible.
We should tell you what the song is, because I'm about to invite you to sing it. The song is "What a Wonderful World," and please do join in if you know it.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
I see skies of blue and clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you.
Like a baby crying, I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful
think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
So last weekend, I was lucky enough to go to the ocean. And I sat for long periods just watching the vast blue-gray water form into waves, break white, and slide to the shore. It was like a heartbeat, so steady, over and over. The beauty was so mesmerizing. It was wordless, flowing through me, calming me, bringing me such peace. It was like Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World, reminding me that the world is such a beautiful place. And like the words of this unknown poet, the beautiful simple things, flowers, long hugs, shy smiles, the smell of rain, starry nights, holding hands, getting lost in a book, random acts of kindness, leaves falling from the trees, the smell of freshly cut grass, morning mist on untouched fields. We all know beauty, as slippery and undefinable as it is. Poet John O'Donohue, an author of the work Beautiful, Beauty, called it an invisible embrace. Each of us has experienced it, becoming mesmerized by the vision or the sound or the feel of the moment. That was beautiful, we whisper, of the snow falling, a lilac bush in full bloom, hearing Primavera sung by the Bolings, the sight of a child offering a kindness to another. We'll do anything to watch a sunset on a clear summer day at the beach, writes author Andre Osserman. We'll stand and stare and remain silent as suffused shades of orange stretch over the horizon. Call it enchantment, the difference between the time-bound and the timeless, between us and the otherworldly. All beauty and art evoke harmonies that transport us to a place where, for only seconds, time stops. And we are one with the world. It is the best that life has to offer. Under the spell of beauty, we experience a rare condition called plentitude, where we want for nothing. End quote. To experience beauty is to be drawn into another orbit and be still in that space, even if it's just for a second. Beauty calls to us. We want to experience it. Beauty is, writes minister and author Patricia Adams Farmer, that which glistens on the edges of our yearnings and lures us in to the depths of things. Beauty lures us in, and we become, even for a fraction of a moment, still. It brings together, according to O'Donohue, all of our senses and thoughts into one experience. We are absorbed. I love the word absorption, says writer Pico Iyer, because I think that's my definition of happiness. All of us know we are happiest when we forget ourselves, when we forget the time, when we lose ourselves in a beautiful piece of music or a movie or a deep conversation with a friend, or an intimate encounter with someone we love. Beauty often absorbs us, if we let it, even if it is only briefly. Our mind stops telling us those hurtful stories that we are not enough, or that something bad is about to happen. In that absorbed stillness, we belong to the wonder of life. We are whole. Like the poet reminded us earlier this morning after she experienced the beautiful grace of a deer beside her on her bike ride, since that moment, the world has felt less weary, like anything and everything is still completely possible. For nearly as long as the Western philosophical tradition has been writing about life, we've been talking about beauty. Experiencing beauty is a universal and profound human experience. So we have thrown our intellectual weight into understanding just what it is and what it means. The Western tradition tries to get to the essence of a thing, to describe it, to break it down into its parts. What is beauty, we've asked ourselves? What makes something beautiful? Is beauty a form of goodness? Is it a form of truth? Is beauty inherent in a thing, or is beauty always subjective? We have conjectured that perhaps people find particular proportions or symmetries beautiful, and that what we find beautiful has order, coherence, and unity. Maybe what we find beautiful is hardwired into our brains. Maybe we were made to find the patterns and shapes in the natural world innately pleasant and compelling. Flowers don't bloom for us. They bloom for the pollinators, enticing them so they will take the pollen from plant to plant. But still, we also find them beautiful. To us, they are decadent, a bounty unasked for. Why were we created? So beauty is something we respond to, something we desire to experience, something we are compelled to create. I wonder, as others have, if perhaps beauty is meant to lure us into the transcendent, that which is beyond us and connects us to all of everything that is rich with meaning and is ungraspable. Maybe we evolved, so we are drawn into healthy, vibrant existence with a mingled sense of pleasure and awe, which is one way to describe beauty. We find beauty in working wild ecosystems and in blooming, lush plants. We find beautiful the ocean, the sky of day, and the stars of night. We find those we love beautiful in all their quirkiness, no matter what they look like. We find beauty in warm, positive moments between human beings. Smiles are beautiful, as are hugs and laughter and kindness. We find beauty in the human created as well. Music, art, written words, architecture. These forms help us feel that which we cannot express directly, but point us towards an internal wholeness of being which we can experience. Our theme this month is nurturing beauty. Beauty calls to us, but how do we nurture it? There is a prayer that goes, "Where there is beauty, enjoy it. Where beauty is hidden, reveal it. Where beauty is ruined, restore it. Where beauty is absent, create it. Where there is beauty, enjoy it." When we enjoy beauty, we allow ourselves to be lured by it. We can't do this if we focus on all the things we have to do. Beauty requires a slowing down, a willingness to engage with what is there. When we approach with reverence, great things decide to approach us, writes O'Donohue in his book, Beauty. Our real life comes to the surface, and its light awakens the concealed beauty of things. When we walk on earth with reverence, beauty will decide to trust us. The rushed heart and the arrogant mind lack the gentleness and the patience to enter that embrace. Beauty is mysterious, a slow presence, that waits the ready, expectant heart. To approach the world with reverence and witness beauty inspires gratefulness. It is the gratitude of E.E. Cummings in this morning's opening reading. I thank you, God, for this amazing day, for the leaping, greenly spirit of trees and a blue dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. In this morning's story, the young girl Faiza is delighted with the color of her sister's hijab. For her, it is beautiful, like the sky and the ocean. She enjoys it so much, she is almost leaping with the pleasure of it. Beauty is a gift, so often freely given, for us to simply slow down and take pleasure in. Where beauty is hidden, reveal it. Beauty is everywhere, but is also hidden. Clutter, the strewn of objects or the chattering of our minds, hides it. The rushed heart and the arrogant mind cannot see it, as O'Donohue says. I think of the way the land, filled with plants and animals, is often seen only through the eyes of potential development and profit. Or the way the bubbling gifts of a child are not seen in the quest to make them sit still and learn in particular ways. Often the beauty must be revealed by those who have experienced it and shown to those who have not. Beauty often gets hidden by prejudice and lack of understanding. The story this morning revealed beauty. The hijab, which I know many people find to be a sign of the oppression of Muslim women, is shown through an entirely different perspective, one of beautiful color and pride and identity. Suddenly something that many Americans find confusing and even wrong becomes bright and wonderful and joyful. Beauty is revealed. Poems reveal beauty to us all the time. That is why we particularly love Mary Oliver, who wrote, "At Blackwater Pond, the tossed waters have settled after a night of rain. I dip my cupped hands. I drink a long time. It tastes like stone, leaves, fire. It falls cold into my body, waking the bones. I hear them deep inside me whispering, 'Oh, what is that beautiful thing that just happened?'" Where beauty is ruined, restore it. This is hard. It says we have a responsibility to beauty. But how? I consider the beauty that I would like to restore. There was a wetland we would pass on the way to my grandparents when I was a child. It was always this lush, succulent green in the eastern Washington landscape that was typically the color of crackling yellow of dried grass or the gray-green of ponderosa pine. The wetland felt so precious to me, so delightful, dazzling emerald in a washed-out world. Next to it was perhaps a 20-acre truck farm with fields of straight rows of diverse vegetables and black soil and an old, quaint farmhouse. One day, the farmers sold all of it to secure their retirement. The wetland was filled in for a mobile home park, and the farm paved over for a strip mall. My heart is still broken from the loss of that beauty and for the loss of that carefully tended soil. I would love to restore it in all such places that have glowed beautiful and were destroyed. Beauty is often subjective, I know, but I don't think many people find rows of identical houses, whatever kind, and strip malls beautiful. I wonder sometimes about this. We think about saving the environment, which is important. We need federal policies that protect water, air, threatened species, ecosystems, and climate. But what about beauty? What if we were simply called to restore beauty to the places that we live and that we congregate? People are drawn to WOOF because it is beautiful. Our buildings nestled under the cedar canopy. Still, it requires restoration. Dedicated people in our congregation work hard to clear the land of the invasive species that spread and tangle. That is restoring beauty. All over the Portland area, people wrest the original beauty back from ivy and blackberries. What if we tried to create human spaces that were beautiful instead of designs that nearly all of us agree are ugly, unpleasant, or at best unsatisfying? Would we be happier, more connected with our lived environment and our neighbors? Would the plants and animals that lived here long before people bulldozed the land have a better chance? I believe beauty pulls us towards healthier systems full of more joy. In our story today, the young girl works to restore beauty. She refines her sister's hijab beautiful, but the bullies who taunt her sister mar her joy and her pleasure. So she recalls her mother's comforting words about remembering who you are and watches how her sister is happy and unfazed by the mean words and how her sister's friends surround her and play. The beauty of her sister's sky blue hijab shines again, restored. Where beauty is absent, create it. One of the things that is spectacular about human beings is our ability to create. We create all sorts of things, but we love to create what is beautiful to us. We love the work of artists who can paint, make extraordinary music, weave fabrics that pull us in, and write poems and essays that delight. Sometimes in our consumer culture, we think of the creation of beautiful as something that is done by professionals that we only get to appreciate after paying a fee or purchasing an item. But we can all create beauty, even just by arranging the items in our home or by singing. When I met with the worship team to discuss the month of services on nurturing beauty, the musicians among us shared that the most beautiful thing to them was creating music with other people. We can all play with paint or wood or ceramics or photography to craft something beautiful. In our story, Faiza, after she learns others are hears others bullying her sister, goes to her classroom and creates a beautiful painting of her sister and her having a picnic in identical blue hijabs. She calls them princesses, and there are gold stars over their heads. It gives her joy, bringing back beauty to a situation that was made ugly by recent memory and meanness. Our society, very unfortunately, has shared with many of us that we are not worthy of creating beauty. Only well-trained or very talented artists can get to do that. We might not find, as the girl did, our own painting beautiful. But creating is human, and we should all do it, regardless of our skill or our talent, and we should take great pleasure in it. There is a type of beauty that we can all create easily, and that is kindness and care. The moment when someone takes the load from another struggling with too many bundles, or lets the mother of the screaming child go ahead in the grocery store line, or stops for a child who just fell from their bike. All these moments are so tender and beautiful. We love the sight of a mother cuddling her child, the child's unabashed hug of their mother around her knees. We feel the beauty of smiles, someone holding a door open or listening intently to another person tell a story that is important to them. We feel the depths of such acts. They are, as O'Donohue said, an invisible embrace. Or Patricia Adams Farmer says, that which glistens on the edge of our yearnings and lures us into the depths of things. Kindness and care lure us toward the transcendent, that which is beyond us and connects us to the all of everything that is rich with meaning and ungraspable. The world is both abundant with kindness and care and desperate for it. We give kindness easily to those who know and love, we know and love, or towards strangers in a time of distress. But kindness can be more challenging to us and for those we don't like, and those that meet certain criteria of personhood we have labeled undesirable. In our story this morning, kindness abounds. A Shiha holds Fiza's hands when they cross the street. Fiza's mother gives her daughters wise words to hold them about being different in a society that may not protect them. Fiza runs to give her sister a hug when she feels worried for her. Ashiha's friends never leave her side when she is teased about her hijab. It is all as beautiful as the sky ocean blue hijab. During this bright month of May, which will be bright, I'm sure of it eventually, let us all nurture the beauty in our lives. Let it lure us towards what is ungraspable, transcendent, to a place where we are whole and at peace and where all is possible. Where there is beauty, enjoy it. Where beauty is hidden, reveal it. Where beauty is ruined, restore it. Where beauty is absent, create it. May it be so.
Now is the time in our service when we take a few moments to simply sink in and appreciate the beauty of our earth, the beauty of this place, the beauty that is ours to share. We appreciate it, and we are grateful for all that has come to this moment, that has created and has restored and has kept going the earth that has been stewarded for so long by the natives of this area, and by the founders and the ongoing members of this congregation. During the musical interlude that comes next, consider what it is that you are especially grateful for from this earth, from this community, from your family history. On the screen, you will see information about how you can contribute financially to this community. But remember, it's so much more than that. Whatever you have to give, we are so grateful for.
Our benediction is from Jean Olson. In what form did the Spirit appear to you today? The blossom of a flower? The tug of a child's hand? The silent, twinkling stars? An old woman smiling at the bus stop? A lover's gentle hug? A presence so close to your shoulder you could almost touch it? Words of truth formed unbidden in your mind? The holy disguised in so many ways. May your senses open wide in recognition. I extinguish our flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with all of you until we meet again.
Carry your flame of peace.